Tasha Hungerford from Investor Accounting Network on the line. How are you going, Tash?
No, I'm great, thank you. I think you've got a pretty good deal getting to spend the time with us.
I lucky? Now, what we've done is so that just in case the internet gets a bit stroppy over here, we've got Tasha on her line, and what you're seeing at the moment is actually Tasha's screen. So she's going to run us through some stuff. She spoke about Xero, and she loves Xero and how good it is. She's going to go through the Investor Accounting Network, what it does, and questions. Bring them in. I'm watching the questions, and I can interrupt and ask the question of Tasha when you want to know the answers. And I'm sure you can handle it. You've done this plenty of times before, Tash.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
All yours.
You're going to sneak off to the bar, aren't you?
Yes. Go on.
So, as Ian said, my name's Tasha Hungerford. I'm the Director of Investor Accounting Network. So, we've got offices all over Australia, including WA, Queensland, New South Wales, and Victoria. If you're not in those states, we can certainly look after you. Some people, get a bit worried when they say, "Oh, I can't kind of see you face to face." But, I have a lot of clients who live, a block away from my office who don't bother coming, to see me. So, we can do things via Skype or email or Dropbox or any of that. And got clients in the UK and Indonesia and all over the place. So we would love to look after you. I guess our specialty is property. So been involved with DIMFNA for a number of years now and talk at the boot camps. And all our accountants are really trained in this property space to make sure we can give you the best advice, with JVs or whatever it is you want to do with property, and also make sure we can get you the best outcome with your tax returns as well. So obviously we do your tax returns. We also do set up structures, so we can set up your self-managed super funds and your bucket companies and piggy bank trusts and flipper trusts and all of those sort of things. And we also do bookkeeping, which is where we get to in tonight's webinar. So I love Xero. It's probably not a very big secret. I'm a bit of a techno nerd and love anything you can do on a computer or app or anything like that. So I guess the reason Xero is so big now, because you'll often see advertising in various places with Xero. It's actually the world's leading software right now for accounting, which is pretty amazing. It's got, 250,000 customers. So it's not, a fly-by-night kind of thing that started up and then is going to disappear. It's certainly here to stay. They're absolutely brilliant with listening to people, which I've just never found in a software company before. If you're having issues, you write to them. If they have enough people saying the same thing, they really do go in and make the upgrades and changes. You pay a monthly subscription fee for it, and there's no kind of extra cost for upgrades or anything like that. It's just included in that one monthly fee that you pay. They've won awards all over the place. They're certainly bigger in Australia and New Zealand than they are overseas in the UK and the US at the moment, but that's because they're actually started in New Zealand, so they're making their way around. So I guess why would you use them? And I'll actually go over and show you what Xero looks like soon, and happy to answer questions about, how it works and anything you're kind of stuck on. So one of the best things about Xero is that it was designed from scratch by a business person. He had been using other accounting software and just found it impossible to use. It was, designed for accountants by accountants. And he kind of said, "Well, this doesn't make any sense to me. I just want something that's really simple and tells me what I need to know." So he started to design this. It's cloud-based, which has its benefits and disadvantages, of course. So if you have terrible internet connection, don't ever use Xero. But most of us, if we're lucky, have pretty half-decent internet connection. And so I guess the important thing to note with that is, as long as you either have a phone, iPad or one of those devices or a computer, then you can access your Xero and do that work or run your reports from anywhere you are in Australia or any, you know, over the world as well. So I think that's a fantastic thing for someone who's, you know, moving around a lot and traveling and that sort of thing. Not that it's too much fun to be doing that kind of thing when you're on holiday, but, you know, at other times it's great. It's very secure. So this is probably the biggest concern that a lot of people have.
Tash,
you say, okay, well,
are you changing screens at all, or are we still on the start screen?
No, I haven't changed it at all.
Okay, no, just checking, just making sure that you haven't gone on for other screens. That's okay. Go on.
No. Sorry, it's on me now.
Right,
you can see that?
No, I've just lost you now. Wait, might come back now. Yep, we're good. Yep.
Okay. So with Xero, what actually happens is they get feeds in from your bank account. So whatever transactions you do yesterday get sent to Xero overnight. And a lot of people go, okay, well, that's a little bit too scary for me. I don't want my bank data floating around there in cyberspace. But Xero uses the same level of security that the banks use to talk to each other. And in fact, they've now even upgraded to military grade security. So it's really, really safe. You know, it's about as safe as you can get. So, you know, they've got, I can't even remember the number of different servers they have all around the world. So, you know, if something happens in one country, there's backups in multiple countries around the world. So your information's always going to be very secure. One of the interesting stats, they said that 65% of Australians now have, you know, a smartphone, and an average person has 3+ devices, which is a pretty huge number, really, when you think about it. So I know, though, at our house, nearly every one of my children have an iPad, and, you know, I've got a phone and I've got an iPad. So I guess when you think about it, that's probably about right. The other thing with Xero being online is that not only can you log on from anywhere, it also means if you have a bookkeeper, they don't have to be sitting there in the room with you. They can also log on, and so can your accountant. So I'll have a client call me who's, you know, down in Tasmania on holiday and saying, I'm just trying to do this reconciliation, but I have no idea where to put this thing. And so, you know, I can log on as well and say, oh, I can see the transaction you're talking about. This is what you do, and actually step people through it. So it really speeds things up. And I also think it really helps people kind of learn the process as well, because in the past you might have just left that transaction and then gone to your accountant at the end of the year and said, oh, I wasn't really sure what to do with that. And then we went and did something and you never quite knew what happened with that transaction. Whereas with this, you actually get to kind of learn along with us about where everything goes in your accounts and how it all works. So I mentioned the bank feeds, that you get that information. And so what happens is you log into Xero, and down one side it shows you all of the transactions that happened the day before. So, and on the right-hand side, Xero starts to learn. So you might go to, say, your local Caltex and buy fuel quite regularly. Xero will start to learn, and when it sees a Caltex transaction come through, it'll say, hey, I think you've brought fuel, is that correct? And you can say, yes, you're right. And it can also do things like allocate a private percentage. You know, so if your car's 65% business, you can actually do splits and things like that. So the more you use Xero and the more it learns, the quicker it then becomes to actually do your accounts. So it's not also limited just to bank accounts. You can also use it with credit cards. You can use it with loans. You can also use it with PayPal as well. So really any bank account or credit card or loan in Australia, you can have these directly fed into Xero. Now that doesn't actually cost anything additional. You just have that one-off fee with Xero.
Just a couple of questions, Tash, here. On your opening slide, you had an email address, support@investoraccountingnetwork. Is that .com.au or .com?
Sorry, it's .com.au.
.com.au. So support@investoraccountingnetwork.com.au. With Investor Accounting Network, do you also support other online accounting packages like QuickBooks and MYOB?
Absolutely, we do. So, you know, Xero is the biggest one at the moment, but there certainly have a lot of clients who are still on MYOB and QuickBooks. So I guess the reason I'm talking about Xero is I think it's a fantastic product for a lot of people. But once again, sometimes MYOB will suit certain people better, and we have no problem dealing with that. As accountants, we actually have access to all of the software from MYOB and QuickBooks. So no matter what version you're working on, then we can absolutely get that information off you and work with those files.
All right. Well, I'll let you go on because there are the other questions here, but that's more about cost and bank accounts and all the rest of it, and you probably go through it as you go through.
Yeah, not a problem. So Xero also has its own document storage as well. What that means is you can actually scan a copy of your bill and attach it to Xero, so you don't have to have, you know, your filing cabinet or anything like that. You can also take a picture of it with your phone and upload it to your Xero, and so it really becomes this cloud-based business hub for you. You know, if you need to go and find something, then it's like, instead of, you know, you're out and about and you can look at that, but you don't know where the bill is, or, you know, it's all online and in the cloud. It actually gives you your own email address as well, so you can forward emails if you want to save the files on there as well. So that's a pretty good feature. It also has an app on, you know, phones and, you know, iPads and those kind of devices, where you can, as I said before, you can take a photo of things, but you can also do online invoicing. And I'm probably more talking about this from a property point of view, but it's got some really good features for business owners, in that if you're a tradie and you're out on site, what would normally happen is you'd finish your job, you'd go back, you might invoice that night, or you might wait till the end of the week, and then you'd invoice, and then you kind of wait that time to get paid. And then sometimes they'd say, oh, no, I didn't actually get that invoice, and so you'd send it again. Whereas with Xero, you can hop in the car, you can do that on the spot, and you can send it to them and say, you know, I've just sent that to you now. You can see when they've opened it, so you absolutely know they've received that invoice, and it's really moving in real time instead of having this time lag. And it's a lot easier than some of those traditional methods of doing that invoice and sending it out and that sort of thing. So
how much storage is there actually that you can put up there on when you do upload stuff?
I believe it's about 15 gigabyte at the moment.
That's pretty big.
It is pretty big. So I've never used it all up with my business. So, you know, it's pretty huge capacity. Obviously, you just have to look at the, you know, if you're scanning documents, you know, the resolution that you're using, so you're not scanning really huge files.
Sure.
So the other thing Xero then has are add-ons. Now, add-ons, because they're not actually provided by Xero, add-ons are when a third-party software provider says, okay, Xero's great, but I think I can add, you know, even more functionality by creating a new add-on. So I'll give you an example. Probably the most easy one is stock. You know, Xero doesn't have its own kind of stock control program. It's a very basic program for stock, whereas you can go and get an add-on that's full stock, you know, tracking and that sort of thing. You can get add-ons which are shopping carts for your internet. So there's really absolutely no limit to the add-ons you can get in Xero. There's one called Receipt Bank as well, which you basically scan all your receipts to Receipt Bank. Not only will they put them in Xero, they'll actually say what they're for. So they'll say, oh, that's electricity, and put the date, and they'll pre-fill all of the information for you. So if you're really time poor, that just really saves a lot of time as well. There's, I think, 200 plus add-ons at the moment, and pretty much every single one of them I've ever seen will give a 30-day free trial. So I like going on and just trying a whole different range of them and seeing if they're any good. Some of them are free and not too bad at all. We actually use one in our business for debtors as well, which automatically sends out sort of debtor reminders, and you know, you can change the wording about what those reminders say. And so they've got some really, really good add-ons. Now, I'm just going to change my screen and hopefully it works. Can you see that?
Yep.
Yep. Brilliant. So here's the basically the zero levels on costs. What we try and do is make sure we're really tailoring that cost to what you need. You know, there's no point of getting, you know, a higher expense version if we can fit you into one of the lesser ones. So for investors, for the $10 a month, this is what you need if you're a rental property owner. You know, if there's no GST or, you know, you're not in the business of real estate and you have rental property. So it still has, you know, your bank feeds and you can still see profit and loss and that sort of thing. You just don't have any invoicing or GST. Now, of course, the only catch with this one is Xero only provides this via accountants or bookkeepers. So, I mean, there's no downside to that. You've just got to go to an accountant bookkeeper and say, can you please set this up for me? They just don't offer it to the general public. Now, we actually have an offer that if you use this level and you've got all your bank accounts and loans in there and they're fully reconciled, we'll reduce your accounting fee at the end of the year by the subscription that you've actually paid to Xero throughout the year. So we kind of recognise that, you know, if you're using this and you're using this well, it really makes our life so much easier at the end of the year.
Okay, the next level up. So just having a look at this, obviously, you know, Christine and I have got a number of trusts, so corporate trustee and discretionary trust with properties in them, and each one of them up to recently had their own bank account until we set up an admin account. But previous to that, you know, some people might have 8, 9, 10 bank accounts and 8, 9, 10 different entities. What level would they need to go on here?
Assuming they're all just rental property owners?
Yes.
Then none of the businesses? I see people do this one of two ways. You either pay for that subscription per property or per entity, or you then say, okay, well, I'm just going to use this for all of them. That's fine as long as you're really good at bookkeeping. So we can set up tracking in this so that we can track each one of those properties. The problem is if you get this wrong, then it can become a complete mess. You have to remember that every single transaction that comes in, you have to allocate to a property. So, you know, if you don't mind the bookkeeping, then that's absolutely fine way to go. Otherwise, you know, as we said too, you know, if we're going to reduce the accounting fee by the cost of that, at the end of the day, you're saving yourself the accounting anyway. So it's probably a judgment call of how much time you want to spend doing that.
So let's get this right. So if we've got two or three properties, are you saying that we could pay three lots of $10 per month and just set up three separate accounts?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, I mean, you can do it under one, but you have to be really diligent about your bookkeeping if you're going to do that.
You know, I would suggest, I mean, my wife's an accountant, so I would suggest knowing what she does, if I had to do it, I'm sure I wouldn't get it right. Knowing Xero is quite easy to work with, but I think, you know, having separate would be better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone here saying that you should note that obviously petrol dockets, they go colourful and whatever, but you take a photo and you can email it to yourself and they're acceptable nowadays, as ATO will accept a photo?
Yeah, the ATO will absolutely accept electronic copies, which is why, you know, this app, I guess, with Xero is great, because you know, if you're really onto your bookkeeping, you'd go to the servo, you'd fill up your car, you get the receipt, you take a picture of it there and then you throw it away in the bin. You don't have to sit there at that time if you don't want to and say, oh, this is for fuel. You know, you can wait till you want to do your bookkeeping and then do that at that time. So, you know, you can just simply take the picture of that receipt and then worry about the other stuff later on.
And okay, so just to be clear, so if I had one investment property, I pay $10 per month, it would cost me $120 for the year, and that would come off my accounting fees at the end of the year if I was with you, because I am with you and I use the Investor Accounting Network.
Correct.
Good.
Easy. I like easy questions. So the next level up is basically if you're the basic business of real estate. So this one's $25 a month. It does include bank feeds and reporting. It does include invoicing and GST, but it's also only available via accountants and bookkeepers. So the difference, I guess, between this one and the next packages are really probably payroll. So the next one up, which is your standard business package, actually includes payroll as well. The $25 a month, I think, limits you to a certain number of bank transactions a month, depending on how much you're doing, look at the number of transactions and work out. Normally, we'd put you in the lower package, and then Xero will tell you if you've gone over the quota for the month that you have to upgrade, and you can move between those if you need to as well. So, obviously, with the payroll, it has its fully functional standalone payroll. You don't need any of those horrible payroll books or any other software. This does everything for employees, even up to the TFN declaration forms that you have to fill out when you have a new employee, where they say, yes, I have a HECS debt, or yes, I'm claiming the tax-free threshold. Xero actually will send that to the ATO electronically for you as well, and it takes care of annual leave and things like that. So it is a fully functional payroll, which is great.
Okay, a couple of questions here.
Okay.
Someone that says, I'm not sure why the $10 deal is only available for bookkeepers.
I'm not sure either. Honestly, can't tell you. That's just zero. So you just can't go online and order it. So I'm not sure what Xero's reasoning is behind that. They've just decided that they only want that available through accountants and bookkeepers.
Can you pull data from Xero and take it to MYOB and QuickBooks?
Yes, you can, and you can obviously do it the other way as well. So MYOB and Xero work quite well exporting and importing between them. So, if you tried Xero and went, it's not for me, I'm going to MYOB, then the files you export from Xero can go into MYOB and vice versa. QuickBooks, you can't import QuickBooks data into Xero without a substantial amount of work. So, and often Xero will offer specials at the end of the financial year about importing MYOB data for free as well. So look out for those. But yeah, for whatever reason, QuickBooks just doesn't work quite as well with Xero.
So someone says, what if you've got an internal bookkeeper? I suppose you'd have to show that you pay them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So
Okay.
it's bookkeepers and accountants that are based. Sorry, let me clarify. So it's bookkeepers and accountants that are registered with Xero can offer that.
Right. If we set up a number of Xero accounts, does that mean we need to use different email addresses or does it offer a master account with sub-accounts for different entities?
No, it does offer a master account. So, when you log in, you'll be able to basically see the list of entities that are under that and then pick which one you want to go into.
Okay, now you're going to show us how to use Xero, aren't you, at some point?
I certainly am. And I guess the other point about that, there's actually an app called Spotlight. So if you were having, say four different Xero accounts, but you still really wanted that high level, see how everything's going, you can use this app called, app, sorry, this add-on called Spotlight and run all these reports to see just on one screen how all your properties are doing and profit and loss and that sort of thing. So it really is worth going and having a play with all of those.
All right. So you're just changing
So,
screens.
yep. So,
So it obviously
just.
saves a lot of time, and the fact that it's easy and simple. Like I've watched my wife go from MYOB to QuickBooks to MYOB and now on Xero. And she is saying that it is much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I was certainly a MYOB person back in the day, and I've used QuickBooks as well. I find this, really, really simple for people. The other thing with Xero that I really like compared to those other two is that they run free online training. And so I often have clients come and say, oh, you know, I'm having trouble with my mild, where can I get training? And often you're sending them to TAFE or those third party kind of providers, and they can be quite expensive, whereas, you know, with Xero, at least all that online training's free. So
we loved it at TAFE because they didn't offer training. We used to set up courses for MYOB in QuickBooks because, you know, there was money to be made.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Xero. It's giving me issues. So this is basically the front screen of Xero. So this here are your bank accounts. So this is basically a demo company that Xero set up that you can go and play with. So this person has Bankwest accounts set up. You can have accounts you want to watch. So say, for example, you were doing a development and you really wanted to watch, I don't know, your engineering expenses. You could say, okay, show me what the balance of those engineering expenses are, so you could really keep an eye on those. Obviously, if you've got debtors and creditors, they show up here. You know, this is the money that should be coming in and the money that's going out. So they try and make all the wording, you know, so it's really clear what it is to people without using the accounting language.
So this dashboard, we don't enter information in, that we are entering information somewhere else, and this is sort of a summary of everything.
That's right. Yeah, so you can play around with this and customize it and that sort of thing. So on this bank account here, you can go into this blue button of reconcile 28 items. And this is where you actually get to do the data entry, basically. You can see up the top here, it really helps guide you through the whole process. So, you know, getting started with how to do this. We can close these down if we don't want to see them constantly. So what it's got here, on the left-hand side are your bank transactions, and on the right-hand side is Xero saying where it thinks these should go. So an amount's come into the bank account from Ridgeway University, and it's saying over here, now you've created an invoice for these guys, and it matches. So it's saying, is this correct? Is this amount coming into your bank account to be matched up with this invoice? And you simply say, okay. And it's now then put that to your income account, and you're one step closer to reconciling your bank account. This one's, you know, an amount you've paid, and it's saying, okay, well, you entered a bill in there which matches that, so can I, you know, allocate those together? And you say, okay. So down this second line here, there's also this discuss button. When I was talking before about, you know, you can communicate that with your accountants and bookkeepers, say you don't want to call them up because you're reconciling at 9 o'clock at night, you can actually put a thing in here and say, this is, you know, for example, this is for an old invoice, I didn't know where to code it. So you can go through and put notes on that for yourself, you know, or bookkeeper, just so when you come back to it, you can talk about it. So down here's an example of one it remembers. You know, there's your bank, $15 bank fee, and it says, okay, last time you put this to bank fees, is that where you wanted to put it this time? And you click OK. So that's kind of as hard as the bank reconciling really is. You can do things like split payments as well. So, you know, with this smart agency, say I actually had, you know, that was only a part payment, you can do a part payment for it. Or if I'd gone and paid $5,000 and it was for 10 different bills, I could then split that and allocate that against 10 different bills. So my computer's having a little bit of a meltdown. So in here you can go and look at all of those bank accounts again. So this one's only got two set up. If you want to add one, it's pretty simple. So it gives you the choice. So for example, we'll say it's an ANZ account, you know, and it gives you the option, is that a prepaid card, what's it for? You say ANZ, you type your account number in, you type your BSB and account number in and click save. the next screen that will come up will say, do you want to get your bank feeds? And you actually would sign in to your ANZ internet banking via Xero, and your bank feeds have automatically started. You can also pick, depending on which bank you're with, how far back you want those transactions as well. So that will just depend on your bank and how much historical information they hold for that particular account.
So just to be sure, just confirm again the security settings that are set up on Xero. So because a lot of people going, oh, geez, I don't want to enter my bank account details.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really, it's defence level security they're saying now. So if you can crack into, you know, the Australian defence, then you could probably crack Xero. Other than that, you haven't got a chance of breaking into it. You know, it's higher than the levels that the banks use to talk to each other. So if you've done a transfer from your Commonwealth account to someone's Westpac account, it's going to be more vulnerable than the information that's in this Xero account.
Right.
So
And where we are quite small fish. I'm sure there's bigger fish than us to have to worry about.
Yeah, the important thing to note too, you know, even though you're reconciling, you don't actually pay bills out of Xero. So you can't, I can't go on here and actually pay a bill and it will go and pay it for me. So it's not like someone could come in here and see, you know, oh, you've got $4,000 and transfer it to their bank account. That's not what it's doing. It's pulling that historical data from your bank over to it.
Right.
Goodness. So with the reports, obviously got quite a big list of reports. You can run your business activity statements, you know, if you've got a GST registered business. You can also add budgets into Xero as well. And of course, you've got your standard sort of profit and loss and balance sheet as well. So, you know, this one shows your sales, purchases. You can publish these, which basically then locks them, and you can refer back to it. So if you want to print this and make sure nothing changes, you publish it, lock that information, which is great for us because often we'll have clients go back and accidentally the incorrect date of a transaction, especially when you kick over to the 1st of January. So you know, quite often we'll be kind of stuck in the old year and enter the wrong year, which then's going to go back and alter that information for the year beforehand, whereas we can lock this and say, well, you just can't go back and accidentally enter the wrong date. You can then export these to Excel. You can export them to a PDF as well. You can also add notes to them. So, you know, with this one, if you go, hang on, legal expenses, that was really, really high. I know my accountant's going to ask me what they were for. So see this tiny little box that appears beside it. You can actually click on that and add a footnote. So you can say here, you know, one-off legal fee negotiating lease or something like that. I can't spell very well. Negotiating.
Well, you're obviously not a lawyer.
I can't spell. I'm good with numbers.
Just a couple here.
There is no spell check on this.
All right. Does Xero have ABA files for supplier payments and employee payments?
Yes, it does.
What's ABA for the rest of us?
Yep. Okay. So I'll show you. So I just finished quickly with this. You can now see there's a little number one beside that, and down the bottom it now has the note of what I've added to that transaction. So an ABA file is basically a payroll function. So if you've got 10 employees, when you've, you know, calculated their wages for the week, you don't then want to log into your internet banking and go, you know, I've got to pay Sally this amount. And
yeah, look, I've lost two. I'm not sure if I've lost her completely. Am I the only one that can't? Can you all hear me? is at everyone completely. So can you hear me? Can you? Yes, you can hear me. All right. Well, hopefully she can get back into the swing of things. Just let me check. All right, you can stop telling me you can hear me. There's lots of you telling me. Tash is gone. Yes, all right. So let's see. Most accountants can't spell you, so agree totally. So just let me check. Hopefully, yeah, she's still saying she's there. You're back. You back, Tash? No, she says she's offline. Okay, so all the questions I've got here so far are about the zero package, so I can't really tell you much. Finally, Christine wasn't in the other room drinking. Well, she doesn't drink. So zero does offer some form of function in what do you call it? It'll come to me again. Investor. So Investor has zero built into it. So again, you know, they've done a deal with them about being able to get in there. So you could talk to them about that and what that means. Tasha's still showing that she's offline. Hang on, let me see. Yep, she is offline at the moment. Worst case scenario, what we'll do is we'll get her to finish that presentation. We'll tack it onto the back of this recording and we can go from there. Just let's see if I can get in contact with her or Ed and see what they say. Okay. Any questions from anyone want to know about anything other than Xero? I could probably answer it, but Xero I can't. Just wait, is she trying to get back on? Andrew's asking, what's the approximate cost to build a two-bedroom unit? Well, I can answer that. It's like a piece of string question, and I can tell you that the cost of it, the length of a piece of string is about half the length times twice. That's about my understanding of how I can answer you. The best way for you to get a rough, really rough guide on how much it would cost to build a two-bedroom unit is that you can go on to BMT, which you've written there, and do a cost calculation on the style of finish. But, you know, a unit block is going to be difficult to say. To build one unit is going to cost this much. You know, there's a whole lot of things that have to be looked into there, and you know that you have to look at what it means, what finishes you're going to do, and you know, so BMT is probably a starting point, but really it's going to come down to talking to builders, talking to designers, and getting it. So if you haven't got a job already on task and they haven't got drawings, it's going to be very difficult for you. Andre wants to know, can I tell you about Brisbane? Sure. It's north of Sydney and it's south of Cairns, and that's a very open question. So can I tell you about Brisbane? Sure. It's definitely there, and all I can say, can I sing? I can sing, yeah. That's a very broad question, Andre. I think you have to be a little bit more specific. I have zero with real estate investor. So does this mean I can just send it to investor accounts? That's something you're going to probably have to email them if you want. Not sure what you mean there, Neville. A few people looking forward to a end of year trip. Where do you see it going? Any suburb preference and why? Andre, if I was to tell you suburbs and you were going to go out and buy there and it didn't quite turn out for you, then one, you'd be lacking the education, which you already have, and secondly, I would be getting the blame, and I'm not going to tell you where to buy and how to buy. That's why we actually teach people to do their due diligence. So in general, you know, there's plenty of property economists around giving their opinion on that. I'm not going to claim to be a property economist. All I'm going to claim is that I know how to do my due diligence and look into the grid variance analysis to make sure that I'm going to try and do the best that I can do. To clarify, a real estate investor has one free subscription included in their membership for one entity. Extra subscriptions cost more money. Thank you, Mark. Do you know any dual key builders in WA? No, I don't. Just remember to go back and listen to the 3-day boot camp where we talk about ringing multiple builders, doing license checks, making sure they've got insurances, making sure they do their thing, that they haven't got any complaints against them, that they are, you know, the owners of their company, that their tradies are happy with how they get paid, all that sort of stuff. What stage am I at with my Chinese flat packs? Well, we're getting a bit closer. You know, we're conscientiously trying to get our first order out. We've just started negotiations to build a small, what we're going to call a step housing, social and urban friendly house park as a demonstration park, probably in Caboolture, so that people can go up and see what they're looking at and whether they're interested in buying them. So that's all in the wings. It's not mine. It's not, you know, I'm not here to advertise that. It's one of my labours of love more than anything. If you buy a dual income property in your name as first home buyer, can you rent one out and live in one for 6 months and still claim the first home buyer's grant? Can you do that? If you're talking about a dual key, I would say not. If you're talking about a duplex, so separate titles, I would say that they will only give you the first home buyer's grant on one of them. Which, you know, you'd be buying two titles anyway, so they'd be separate titles. If they were dual key, then I would probably think about how you would collect rent. That's all I'm going to say. I'm a licensed builder. Can I claim tax deduction for the cost of my real estate home study kit? That's a question that you're going to have to ask your accountant. It's a question I can answer, but I won't answer as a plumber and builder. But definitely talk to Invest Accounting Network, and they've got some definite answers on that. Actually directly from the ATO as a question that they've given it. Ryder, Ryder Levitt Bucknell booklet can help you give a build costs. So Ryder Levitt Bucknell, RLB, Jason's saying will give you a decent cost of building price. Brisbane has lots of extra police officers this week. Yeah, it's the safest or unsafest place in the world, depending on how you think. Hi, Ian, when you have many entities, how do you manage all their bank accounts, transaction accounts, loan accounts? Great. Okay, that's a good question, Richard, because what happens is you get to the point where you've got that many trusts and accounts and stuff going on where it's so hard to handle and do everything that you end up going and setting up like we had done a couple of years ago, because we had a number of properties, obviously, and we started another company in discretionary trust called DIPNA calls an admin trust. And in that admin trust, what you do is you create one bank account. Remember, I'm a plumber and builder by trade, and anything I say here is not advice. You need to get advice from qualified professionals. This is my opinion, okay? So you go and set up a company and trust as an admin trust. You have one bank account for that. And what you do is you close down all your other bank accounts, you talk to all your real estate agents, and you tell your real estate agents you need to pay into this bank account. And what that admin trust account does is it actually acts as your administration person. Tasha's trying to become an organizer again. One second. Let me get it back in. Tasha. There you are. Okay. Okay, and hopefully she's up there, and then I'll make her a presenter again. She says it's not connected to audio, but anyway, we'll make her a presenter to start with. Okay, so, God, I hope I didn't have anything important there. No, I didn't. because you saw my screen there for a while. I'll just quickly answer these questions, so don't send any more questions in. So the admin trust will then have a whole set of they'll have one bank account, and all the monies will get paid in from all the different properties, and then you as the bank account holder and administration trust will then pay out all the bills and pay all the tradies and all the costs that have to go out from there. And then there'll be a reconciliation depending at the end of the year around the trust. What do you think of Caboolture, Queensland to buy houses in the future? Well, I don't know. You know, that again, I'm not going to answer questions on areas. That's for you to answer and be comfortable with to sort yourself out. How do we get on Dimpner's forum? Again, ring Knowledge Source, speak to Larissa. She'll give you new login details. Head lease, sublease works. Look, that's a very long question. That's a whole webinar question, which we'll probably do very soon. What's the difference between what investor can provide? Are you... Oh, that's two different questions. You on now, Tash?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Just one here. What's the difference between what investor can provide and John Bode's grid various analysis program? Well, that's not a question for you, Tash. John Bone's grid variance analysis program is specific about suburbs and what the costs are around that. Investor is a research tool, also has APM built into it so you can research the property even further. So one does grid variance analysis, one finds properties and helps you break down the properties. Dual key, John, is where you walk in through the front door. You've got a... you walk in through a front door into a foyer. You've got a door ahead which goes to part of the house, and you've got a door on the right or the left that goes to another part of the house that could be self-contained. You can't rent it legally separately in most jurisdictions, but it just caters for the, you know, the grandparents can live in there or the teenager can live in there or all those sort of things in there. Is it appropriate to have the corporate trustee as the appointer of a discretionary trust? Is it appropriate to have the corporate trustee as the appointer of a discretionary? That's not possible, is it, Tash?
No.
Corporate trustee is the company that's The corporate trustee is the company that sits above the trust. I'd probably go back and speak to your coaches because there's a little bit of confusion there. Is the admin trust account in the personal names? No. So when you set up an admin corporate trustee and trust, you will be setting up a name like you would for any other one, and your bank accounts would be in the name of the trust. Is that correct, Tash?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, so go on. We're back online now with you, Tash, and so we're all going.
I find it really ironic that the Fiji internet's fine, but Maroochydore on the Sunshine Coast just died. So you're worried about your side. No, we actually just had a power spike, which basically shut all the power down for long enough for my internet and server to go down. So sorry about that, guys.
You're right.
So I think I'm not sure at what point I sort of went out there. I was explaining with payroll you can do the files to the bank. You can also send the files to the ATO. So that's all nice and easy. We basically have got the offer that you probably see on your screen at the moment. Normally, if we're going to set up zero, we charge $330, but we're offering it at $150. So what does that include? We'll actually customise the chart. The chart of accounts that's included is really for small businesses. They're not set up for property investors, so we will go and customise that chart of accounts for property investors. We'll set up your invoice templates, the relevant tax GST settings, the user access. So, you know, if you want to add your bookkeeper and yourself and, you know, your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, we'll do that. And also set up that tracking category. So if you do have a couple of properties in that zero, you'll be able to report on each one of those. So just email us at the support@investoraccountingnetwork.com.au to take that up, and we'll be more than happy. Ian, have you got other questions you'd like me to answer?
I do. With the bank feeds, does it support smaller banks and credit unions?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So if you can't do it directly with internet banking, you can also fill out a form
Okay.
and, authorize your bank to do those fees.
I've heard somewhere along the grapevine that when you sign up, Xero claims ownership of all your details and information. Is there any truth to this, or is it BS? And so, can you start, Tash, with telling me what BS stands for?
No, I don't think I've ever heard that term before, Ian. So, look, I don't believe that really for a second. If that was true, then no one would ever use the program. It's very easy to export your data out and close the account down if you didn't want to use it. And we've had business people who've sold their business mid-year, and we go and print all the reports and close it down. So, I don't think there's any great conspiracy behind it unless, one of the other software providers have maybe leaked that into the marketplace.
Yeah, sounds like about right. Can I track loan accounts as well? Track if the lenders are charging the correct interest according to the interest rate.
No, it doesn't do that kind of interest calculator.
Okay, if the cost of Xero is tax deductible and the reduced accountancy fees are tax deductible, that basically is a double deduction, is that correct? No, I mean, you're still spending the same amount of money, aren't you?
That's right. I mean, if we've reduced your accounting fees by the amount of the Xero subscription, yes, you've got the tax deduction for both, but that equal, the same as what your accounting fee would have been beforehand.
$100 is $100. You only get tax deduction on $100. That's it. If using Xero for a flipper trust, once all processes of the project have been completed, that is, sale completed and taxes paid, can the Xero entity be accessed in the future but essentially closed and therefore not attracting the monthly charge, or do you close the Xero entity and export everything?
Yeah, you'd have to close it down and export everything.
Right.
But it's quite easy to do. You just print out full transaction listings and that sort of thing.
So with your offer
You can't
there,
kind of have it both ways.
with the offer there for the $150, is there a charge on top of that? There's obviously the monthly fee.
Yeah, there's obviously the Xero subscription, which you're normally paying direct to Xero, so we're not really involved in that transaction.
Does Xero have a non-cloud version?
No, not at all.
Okay.
If you're looking for something like that, then you do need to move to your traditional MYOB or QuickBooks or Cashflow Manager if you want something, quite basic as well.
All right. Might just do this last question. For any other questions, obviously, support at investoraccountingnetwork.com.au. That's correct. Yeah. You're there, Tash? We lost you again.
Absolutely. You
Yeah.
said you were going to give me one more question.
No, I am. I was waiting for you to answer that second last question that I added in there. I can see if you have two to three properties, it might be better to use Xero for property accounting, but as your portfolio grows, I can see this becoming overwhelming. What other solutions are your larger and more complex clients using, MYOB or QuickBooks, and using job numbers to manage individual projects or properties? Any suggestions would be great. Well,
Oh,
from
that's
what I can see,
funny.
Xero is pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, MYOB's job is basically what the tracking categories are in Xero. And if you're getting to that level where you own those multiple properties or multiple businesses, then you have to kind of weigh up having the simple bookkeeping, that maybe you want to do part of compared to paying maybe a bookkeeper to do that work depending on your level of transactions. So, obviously you've got to look at what your situation is. But the fact that it memorizes so much means that even if you've got a bookkeeper, they're doing so less volume than they normally would be.
All right.
So often I think this is a great saving compared to having a bookkeeper as well.
Okay, sorry, I was just typing an answer to one of the questions here. Okay, so for anything that, any questions, you can obviously help out. You're not going to charge people for 6 minutes of work if they ring your office or send an email to support@investaccountingnetwork.com.au, and you can help them
Absolutely.
Out, obviously.
Being, you know, happy to talk to people about whether this solution does work for them as well. You know, as I said, I'm not opposed to MYOB, not opposed to QuickBooks, not opposed to other software, but for a lot of people this is really, really simple as well.
Okay. Thanks for coming online. Obviously, you know, the irony of me still being here and you dropping out was funny. Again, questions you can send to Investor Accounting Network. You've got offices all over. You can answer questions. You can help people out. You're available. You're actually an investor yourself. You've done 2, 3, or 4 deals in the last year that are absolutely amazing. So Tasha really does know her stuff, not only in the accounting, but she's kicking big goals with the properties as well. For the next webinar, obviously, it's a Q&A webinar, so you can send your questions to questions@realestatesuccess.com.au. So that's questions@realestatesuccess.com.au, and we'll accept questions up to lunchtime on the Monday of that day. So for me, thank you, Tasha. I'm off to drink some more alcohol, and not that I do drink much, but, you know, I'll be off and go. So thanks, Tash, for coming along, and we'll see everyone later.
Thank you. See you later.
See ya.